Well, they're just amazing words, aren't they? And I think sometimes, although we do miss singing, I certainly miss singing, but sometimes just to be able to reflect on the words, cause your church, Lord, to hunger for all your ways. I wonder, is that true of us as a church? Is that true of us as individuals, that we hunger for all his ways? It's very challenging, isn't it? May our prayer rise to you like a sweet aroma, a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And as we turn to Psalm 57 this morning, we're just continuing the theme that our calendar text set for us last Sunday morning. The theme there last Sunday morning was, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that you have called out to the Lord, that you've called to him for salvation of your sins. Whether you're young or old, we all need salvation, and God has graciously provided for us a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So we develop the theme now through the mornings in January of calling out to God. Some have called to him for salvation. Some need today to call to him for salvation. But here, as we think of the theme of calling out to God, we come to Psalm 57. And just really for you to understand the background of this psalm is found in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And again, just for time's sake this morning, we're not going to read chunks of 1 Samuel 24, but that's the context that we have when we come to Psalm 57. King Saul is pursuing David. Why? Because God has anointed David to replace Saul as king over Israel. And Saul, we read in 1 Samuel 24, pursues David. And so David is on the run. And we're told that Saul is accompanied with 3,000 of his men. And so David finds himself in the wilderness, and En-Gedi wilderness, and he holes up in a cave. He takes refuge in a cave. And whilst he's in the cave, whilst he reflects on the fact that God has anointed him, whilst he reflects that Israel's first king, Saul, is out to kill him, whilst he reflects that there are 3,000 men after him, he's there with some of his men in the cave, and he reflects on his predicament, or he reflects on his situation. And I wonder this morning, as you sit at home or as you're here in the chapel, there's a few here, not many, but the support staff, I like to call them. But as we sit and reflect on our current situation, now your situation would be very different to mine, I'm sure. Maybe this morning that you come and to watch this broadcast with a heavy heart, because there are things that are weighing heavily on your mind to such an extent that you can't sleep, and that your sleep patterns have been disturbed. And perhaps now it's not just sleep deprivation you're struggling with, but you've lost appetite, that someone offers you a meal or some food and you just can't face it. And even your morning coffee, that just the smell of that coffee bean, you just can't stomach it. That you are this morning, and perhaps no one else knows, but this morning you're just reflecting on your situation, your circumstance, and within your heart and in the pit of your stomach, you just feel physically sick. You feel low. You feel cast down. You feel that everything is just hemming in, coming in, pressing in around you. And you look up to heaven, you say, oh God, be merciful to me. And I can understand that, because that is a place that I've been. It's a place that many of you have been. But I want to encourage you this morning that as we look at Psalm 57, David's situation is serious. His predicament is serious. But his response is slightly surprising. That he still, in the midst of Saul pursuing him, he has a heart for something that is beyond man's comprehension, in a sense, the natural man's comprehension. The godly man, the spiritual man, understands these things. So if you're a Christian this morning, you will understand where David is coming from. But he is looking at his situation and his predicament and his life, not from his perspective, but he's actually taking himself by faith, and he's going up to the God Most High, his God Most High. And he is seeking to see things from his perspective. And as a result, his heart is a heart that calls out to God, not for him to be delivered from Saul, not for him to be led to safety, but his call to God is that in this circumstance, in this situation, that God may be glorified. That's rather surprising, isn't it? Because our natural inclination, when we're up against it, when we find ourselves under the cosh, when perhaps we reach that point that we've reached wit's end, and our natural inclination is to cry to God, say, Lord, save me from this hour. Take me from this situation. Take me out of it. I can't handle it anymore. But David, in a similar situation, he calls out to God, but ultimately he calls that God will be glorified in this situation and in this predicament. He says in verse 1, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. I wonder, we know many of us enjoy singing, and many of us are struggling that we can't sing, particularly when we gather in the chapel. But that's not going to be forever. So take heart, okay, be of good faith. But perhaps at home, when you have the house to yourself, you perhaps when you're baking a cake or when you're doing the housework and the cleaning, perhaps you burst into song. Often you might be feeling a little bit indifferent. You might be feeling a bit low and discouraged. And so you burst into a song in order for your soul to be lifted. And you start to focus on the words of hymns and choruses that will help us. And hymns are precious, aren't they? Because they do help us. Sometimes the hymn writer can pen and articulate feelings that I experience, but can't always articulate how I feel. And yet the hymn writer thought, this is it. This is it. This is me. And that's the beauty of the Psalms, isn't it? Because the Psalms are there, and someone has said that the Psalms, 150 of them, they cover every circumstance of life. And so we burst into song. Maybe you sing in the bath, or you sing in the shower. We know that Paul and Silas, they sang in the prison cell. And here we have David, God's anointed, singing in the cave. And we mustn't lose sight that this is a song, because the Psalms were sung. And we're told here the inscription on Psalm 57 to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy. Do Not Destroy is the hymn tune. Those of you who are musical and perhaps who play the piano or the organ in chapel, sometimes the minister or the preacher might say, well, we're gonna sing The Lord's My Shepherd to Crimond, see? And so here, Do Not Destroy is the hymn tune. And then we have, and there's some speculation about what a miktam is, but many reliable commentators seem to suggest that it's a rhythm the timing. And the rhythm of how this psalm was to be sung. Well, who knows? We wouldn't go to the stake over that. But it's a psalm of David, and he says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me." To whom do you call when things are tough? You see, some people are very quick to call a friend. Oh, I just want to share something. I've had devastating news. You see, our call or our cry would depend on various factors. I have some suggestions here. This is a spontaneous call to God. Look at verse 2. I cry to God Most High. So he's crying to God. Sometimes we call or cry out. It's a spontaneous response to an urgent need. Sometimes when we call out to God, it can require us asking him to deal with a specific need. Sometimes we call out to God or we cry to God because it's motivated by the presence of danger, or a response to pain and hurt, or a reaction to some heartbreaking news, or a response to a sense of desperation. So there are various factors, various reasons why we call or cry out to God. And of course, the context here is clear for us. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you, O Lord, my soul finds refuge. In you, my soul finds security. In you, my soul finds peace. And sadly, many people in our land and city today are looking for peace. Where is true peace found? In God Most High. And so when we find ourselves in a situation where we're hurting, where we're confused, where we're unsure, where we just feel devastated or cast down, what do we need to do? We need to call out to God. And we need to recognize that we are unworthy of anything that God can give us. Be merciful to me. Lord, please, show mercy. I know that I deserve nothing from you. I know that perhaps I've just lived this last week without even giving you the time of day. Perhaps I've just neglected your word. I've neglected fellowship with you. I've neglected just time of prayer with you and my sharing of my heart and my adoration and praise and worship of you. So I deserve nothing from you, because often as people we can just become so caught up with me and with my problems and with my issue, with my work, with my ambitions, with my family, with my friends. And yet it's not about me, is it? Our lives are to be lived out for the glory of God. And so within this cry, within this song, within this calling out to God, he desires that ultimately, whatever happens to him, that God is glorified. You know, this is where we have to trust God, because God operates in a way that only God can operate. You see, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if we try to understand, and we're going to look at this evening in greater detail, but if we try to understand why God would do such a thing, why God would allow such a thing, why God is working in the way he works, if we try to understand that, then we're just going to become very, very discouraged, because we're not going to understand all that God has in store for us. And he knows that we would be incapable of handling and coping all that he could share with us. So he calls us God Most High. This God calls us to trust him. Now, you might say, well, that's fair enough, Andy, but that's easier said than done. Absolutely. And we've all been there, and we've all got the T-shirt. It is easier said than done. But that's where authentic faith comes in. Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. It wasn't so many months ago, I was talking to a lady in the valleys, and she was describing the sort of year that she'd had. And I came away thinking, Lord, thank you for allowing me that conversation. Because sometimes we can just focus on our own predicament. We can focus on our own problems in our own cave, not realizing that there's a big world out there where actually there are many who are going through the same anxieties, the same worries, the same pressures, and in many cases a lot worse and far greater and much more. And we need to be reminded that actually God, who sits upon the circle of eternity, he's the one who rules the universe and all the things that be. He's the one who can trace the smallest creature he's made. And tenderly, he loves them all. And can the great eternal one, can he take care of one like me? Can he find the time to listen to my earnest plea? Yes, he can. Sure, he can. Yes, he will. Sure, he will. Every promise he'll fulfill. This I know, he loves me still. Oh, praise his name. What's our response this morning? Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. For my soul finds refuge in you. My soul finds security in you. In you alone, I will place and put my trust. You know, he talks about sheltering in the shadow of his wings, of God's wings. He says, in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. The picture here is of the mother hen graciously lifting her wing, and for her chicks to come near to her, and then she can just bring her wing down, and they're near to her heart, they're near, and they're safe, and they're secure. And in that moment, when that covering wing comes over them, it's a beautiful picture that David, in the cave, says, be merciful to me. My soul finds refuge in you. Oh, Lord, may the shadow of your wing come and cover me. What's he calling for? He's calling not only for the glory of God, but as God covers his anointed one, so in that he will be glorified. Do you see? When we think of the anointed one, great David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the cross was mocked and scorned, was beaten and bruised, was pierced for you and for me and for our iniquities. He was ridiculed. You know, the sarcasm, you know, King of the Jews. And yet in that, for the natural man, they just see Jesus as an object of scorn and derision. But for the spiritual man, for the godly man, for the man who has encountered and has experienced the very real grace and mercy of God, we see God's glory. Do you see that? Because as God the Father, if you like, he covers his Son with our sin, so that he covers us and those who believe in him by faith. He covers us with his righteousness. the glory of God. Jesus, we sometimes sing, keep me near the cross. In the cross, be my glory ever. So it's a wonderful picture, isn't it? How God will just bring the shadow of his wing upon us and to cover us till the storms of destruction pass by. He will keep me safe. Why? Because God wants to be glorified, and God will show to the nations that he is a God who is worthy of all honor and all praise and all glory. So he cries out, verse 2, to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. See, here is the cry and call of faith. That ultimately he wants God to be glorified, but he accepts that God's ways are beyond his comprehension and beyond finding sometimes. But he calls out knowing that God will fulfill. Here's the call of faith, the cry of faith. God will fulfill his promise to me. What does God promise you this morning? Well, he doesn't promise us a trouble-free life or a trouble-free existence. He promises us that he will care for us, he'll provide for us, he'll protect us, and he, by his grace, will lead us safely home. And so, if God be for me, and we saw this a few weeks ago in the build-up to Christmas, if God be for me, who then can be against me? When I was a 12-year-old, and just after I got converted, I learnt this little chorus, on the victory side, on the victory side. With Christ within, the fight will win. No foe can haunt me, no fear can daunt me. I'm on the victory side. And that's the point this morning. Are you on the victory side? For the glory of God, in him I find refuge. In him my soul finds rest. In him my soul finds security, shelter. As a chorus, a modern day chorus says, a shelter under the shadow of his wings, we find security. So he calls out to God, knowing that God will fulfill his purpose for David. And friend, as we call out to God for mercy, remember that God will fulfill his purpose for you and his purpose for me. He will send from heaven. He will send from heaven and will save me. You know, now that's not necessarily a cry for to be delivered from Saul, but he knows that one way or the other, God will provide salvation. God will save him, and he will put to shame those who trample on me. And then we have, which is very, very unusual in the Psalms, that in the middle of a sentence, we have Selah, which means pause for thought. Usually, Selah would come after the sentence has been concluded. So it's quite unusual that. You don't see that too often in the middle of the verse, Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. That's just amazing, isn't it? That God is still sending out his steadfast love and faithfulness. It's still available to you this morning who are cast down, who are discouraged, who are despondent, who are hurting, who are sorrowing, who are grieving, who are struggling, who are suffering. He still sends out his steadfast love for you, my friend. Why? Because he's a God who is faithful. Because he's a God who will fulfill his promise for you and for me and for his people and for his church. God isn't a God who only half finishes the job. Do you know people like that? Very, very eager to start something, but so slow to finish. And not to offend anyone within the church or anyone who's watching this, but you know, I'm only going by some of the conversations I've had with wives of builders. You know, if you're married to a builder, you probably know this better than me. and better than most. That your husband, he goes out, he works long hours, he works hard. It's not easy being self-employed, particularly in a pandemic. So we remember self-employed people this morning in our prayers. But, you know, if you're married to a self-employed builder, you'll know that he is keen to finish everyone else's work. And the work that is done in his own home is often forgotten or neglected. Or when he comes in, he is so shattered. And, oh, it's all right, love. I'll have a go Saturday. We'll have a go next week. And sometimes those jobs never get finished. That's not how God works. When God builds, when God equips, when God restores, he does it fully. And Jesus Christ, God the Son, he came to this earth and he finished his mission. Wonderful death, for it meant not defeat. Calvary made his great mission complete. It is finished. Tetelestai. Bit of Greek for you. Tetelestai. It is finished. Done. Once for all. For you, for me. This is the God Most High that David cries out to, calls out to. This is the God Most High that David longs that his glory will cover the earth. His glory will be over all the earth. That will be seen, will be experienced all over the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Look at verse 5, repeated verse 11. He wants to emphasize that actually it's not about me, Lord. I call to you for mercy, but ultimately I want you to be exalted above the heavens. I want your glory to be over all the earth. He will send from heaven to save me. He will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. Verse 4, I lie down among fiery beasts. This is symbolic language. The children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp words. In other words, he feels very, very much that he is the prey. He is the one that he's being pursued. And the words of man have wounded him. The wounds of man have hurt him. I'll pause there. Be careful with your words. Be careful what you say. Because words can damage. Words can cause disunity. Words can be damaging. And not just for a time, but words can be damaging for forever. So be careful. Let our conversation, let our words always be seasoned with grace. He's being pursued. He is the hunted. And he feels that. And he's under pressure. But may your glory be above the heavens. May your glory be over all the earth. May you be exalted, O God. And then they set a net or a trap for me. They tried to ensnare my steps. Look at verse 6. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they are falling into it themselves. In other words, again, this is a call of faith that he's saying they will try to scheme to ensnare me, to trap me. But actually, the very plan they have for me, they will actually be the ones who will fall into that snare, and they will find that for themselves. Pause for thought. So verse 7, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. I will sing and make melody. In my heart, there rings a melody. And you know, Do you have a melody in your heart this morning? You see, it doesn't mean that God's going to lift you up and take you out of your situation, out of your circumstance. But he's with you in your circumstance. He's with you in your situation. And so you can say, that warms my heart. In my heart there rings a melody, because God Most High, whose name is above all names, he is to be exalted, and his glory is to be over all the earth. He will send out his love and his care and protection for me. He will fulfill his promises and plans for me, because he is God Most High. But above all, it's about his glory, that he will be true to his word, and that he will indeed bring his anointed one to the throne. So it's a call of faith, isn't it? It's a cry for mercy, but it's a call of faith, praying and beseeching God for his glory to be seen in all the earth. Awake, O harp and lyre, awake my soul and sing of him we sometimes sing who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. I will awake the dawn. Now, having grandparents who were both my maternal and paternal grandparents were farmers. And so as a child spending school holidays on the farm, we were often woken up with the cockerel singing at dawn. You know, and even as a young child, I suddenly got that sense that I'd want to wring its neck. And there was a day when my grandfather let me wring its neck, but that's a different story, okay? But and that's what they do on farms, you see, so don't get too upset if you're into animal conservation. But I will awake the dawn with my rejoicing, with my singing, with my praising, with my exalting, with my magnifying. I will sing praise to you, O Lord. I will sing praise among the peoples. In other words, he is now, by faith, he's been lifted up from the cave, and in his mind's eye, and in the eye of faith, that he is now exalting God Most High. And that praise will be seen and heard throughout the land, throughout the people, and amongst the nations. Now, of course, going back to 1 Samuel 24, there are some with him. And it's interesting that we read in 1 Samuel 24, that King Saul, he pops into the cave to relieve himself. I mean, you couldn't write it really, could you? The man that he's pursuing is hiding in the cave that he decides to go and relieve himself in. And we read there that the men who were with David says, now's the moment, now's your chance, now's the opportunity to take him out. To take him out of your way, to remove him from your scene, and then there'll be nothing to stop you from being king. But what does he do? He says no. Because we're not to take the part of God. We're not to try and reenact the place of God. David knew this, that God's plans and promises will be fulfilled by God Most High. But what does he do? He cuts the edge of the robe, and later on he shows King Saul that he had the opportunity to kill him. But he said, no. He said, he recognized that who had put Saul on the throne? God. Who places rulers and governments? God. Who takes them down? God. Sometimes we're tempted to step in and do the work for God. No. Because David wanted God to be honored. And so by resisting to kill Saul, he honors God and allows God to have all the glory. God will fulfill his plan, his way. He'll fulfill his purposes in his time. And there needs to be a recognition on our part that We must only allow God to do what God ought to do. And we mustn't be foolish in thinking that we, in some measure, can actually help God along the way. He resisted. He resisted. And so he gives thanks to God. And those men that were with David, I'm sure they'd be struck, as we're struck this morning, as to his heartfelt honor and praise and worship of God. Let me tell you this. Humility is the doorway to true worship. And that's what we see here. That he, in the cave, is worshipping God Most High. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. I'm in a predicament. And Lord, I'm not asking you necessarily to take me out of this. But I trust you. I know that you will fulfill your plans and your purposes for me and for my life, for your honor and for your glory. And so he says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. He's just describing the extent of God's steadfast love and his greatness. And it cannot be measured. It reaches even above and beyond the heavens. Be exalted, O God, among the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Mercy. He sees himself as unworthy. Refuge. In him, in God, I find refuge. And under the shadow of his wing, I find protection and security. So as we started this morning, we asked the question that you may be sat at home and you may be in a situation or a predicament that you feel low. Then I pray that Psalm 57 and all that we read in 1 Samuel 24 will help you, will help us in recognizing that God is with you, God is over you, God is behind you, God is beside you, God is around you, and he will fulfill his plans and promises for you. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what none other can do. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. May you be exalted above the heavens. May your glory fill the earth. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. But the amazing thing is that his way of working will not only benefit you and save you and prosper you and help you and protect you and care for you, but his way of working for you will ultimately bring glory to him and to his majestic name. What an amazing God we serve. He is faithful in every way. This is God's word, and we thank him for it. We're going to sing as we close, and the words are very precious. You know it. It's nearer, still nearer.